Philippians 1 verses 12 through 14, these are God's words. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. So the apostle has told us that he thanks God every time he remembers the Philippians, and that even when he is praying for them, he makes his requests with joy. And that the reason he makes those requests with joy is because he knows that what he is praying for and participating in is a work that God has started in the Philippians, and that God is going to complete in those Philippians until the day of Christ Jesus. And then he told them what part of what he prays for them, that their love would abound still more and more in knowledge. And then, not only does he pray that, as the Lord often gives us to do, he gives us to pray and work. The Lord Jesus tells his disciples to pray the Lord of the harvest, that he would send workers out, and then he sends his disciples himself. So he prays that their love would abound still more and more in knowledge. And then in verse 12, he says, I want you to know. The knowledge, part of the knowledge that the apostle is praying for is what he tells them about now here in verses 12 through 14. And what he wants them to see going on in his own life is very similar to what he has seen going on in their life. That when they would think about Paul, they would think about a work that God is doing, that God has started, that God is going to finish, that they would think about God using him. And that would completely change how they see his chains. So he wants them to know something. He wants them to have a theological understanding of what's going on in his own chains. And he tells them about other people who have learned this about his chains. He tells them about the Praetorian Guard and to all the rest, probably all the other soldiers. But the Praetorian Guard or the Palace Guard know that his chains are in Christ. And the other brethren, most of the other brethren in the Lord in Rome, have been confident by his chains. They've seen that his chains are in Christ, and they are emboldened now to speak the word without fear. So theology is important. It's important that we have this doctrine, that we have this teaching from the scripture, that, that God is sovereign over all things, that he's working all things, according to the counsel, of his will, and that what he is doing is he is making the gospel of Jesus Christ, to advance. So he wants them to know, he knows that they care about him. We're going to find out in about a chapter and a half or so that they've sent Epaphras or Epaphroditus to minister to him and his needs. We're going to find out in chapter 4 that they have sent along with him a gift of money. They are very interested in him. And as he, in his love to them, has been encouraged and gladdened by the fact that God is working in them and through them, he wants them to be encouraged in their love for him, that God is working through him. We ought to love one another and delight in what God is doing in one another's lives, so that as we practice our theology, and it's wonderful how the Lord pairs these things together, but this goes very well, doesn't it, with what we heard from Genesis 46 this morning. That God would give us such a strong confidence in what he has said he is doing for us in Christ, that every little evidence of every blessing that he gives us, even earthly blessing, and of course, covenantal blessing, blessing that we can see, blessing that we have to believe, simply because he has told us about it and we can't see, which is, what faith is, that we would be, able to see God at work in all things and therefore be encouraged. So he says, I want you to know, I want you to have this theology, I want you to apply this theology to my own case when you think about me, and I want you to be able to respond the way your brothers in Rome have. I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, or the advance of the gospel. Now, this is a military term, which is appropriate, because he's talking about something that took place among the palace guard, the Praetorian guard, and these would be elite forces, like special forces, secret service type guys. The best of the best would be assigned to this duty in Rome, especially with respect to the immediate service of the emperor. And apparently, this had gone very well, because when he greets them at the end of the book, or at the end of the letter, in just a couple chapters, he's going to say, "There are members of Caesar's household that greet you." Now, Paul had not really had a lot of inroads with the military, except for in Philippi, because Philippi, the church in Philippi, would have had retired Roman soldiers in it. Philippi was a city that was a colony. It was like, you know, some mixture between Florida and, you know, wherever military people go to retire, which I guess everybody goes to Florida. But it was very specifically for retired soldiers. And so this military language that he uses is kind of a play on words. And he talks about for the advance of the gospel. And not just advance like you would think of the line advancing, but those first scouts that would go out and they would get some reconnaissance, or they would have, you know, particular objectives, perhaps even behind enemy lines. And he's basically saying, yeah, to the rest of the world, it looks like, oh, too bad for Paul. He got captured. He can't go around preaching the gospel like he was doing before. But I want you to know, he says, that this was actually God's method of making me an advanced scout, of making me one of these special forces who goes in with this special mission. And what has happened is the whole palace guard, or the whole Praetorian guard, has become evident to them that their chains are in Christ. That Paul's chains are in Christ. Now, when he talks about the chains, he's talking about literally the little pieces of metal, or ropes of metal, chains of metal that tied Paul to these special forces, these elite soldiers who had this special duty. One of the details that they would have had was, if you read in Acts chapter 28, you find that Paul was under house arrest in Rome. So he was able to stay at his own expense, and probably a big part of that expense is what the Philippian church had sent him. And so they had paid for him to be, instead of in a Roman jail, he would be in his own rented house, and there would be a soldier chained to him. And then when it came time for the shift change, another one of these Army Ranger, Navy SEAL types, these elite of the elite, would chain himself to Paul, and then the other guy could unchain himself so that Paul would be chained to a soldier. And he would come off duty and talk to his army buddies, and they'd be like, "Yeah, so what was he doing this time?" "Oh, the same stuff that he's always doing, man. You should hear him pray for those Philippians. And the way that he is always just thanking God for them. And even when he's asking his God to fix what's going on with them, he seems so happy and so confident and so joyful. Haven't seen anything like it." You think of something similar that some of the folks in the Philippian church had gone through, right? Because what do we see in the book of Acts about how this church in Philippi got started? Well, it got started with some ladies by the river, but eventually it really got going when Paul and Silas were in jail. And what were they doing in jail? Well, among other things, they were singing the praises of God in the jail. And what effect did this have? Well, when the chains fell off of everybody and the doors opened, none of the prisoners left. They stayed back with these These odd fellows who were like nobody they'd ever seen before, and they knew a God like no God that they'd ever heard before, and they knew a Savior. And not only were probably, almost certainly from among the prisoners, who did not leave when they had the chance after having been exposed to Paul and Silas, but you remember the jailer himself who didn't know that that's what had happened to the prisoners, and he was going to kill himself because he was going to be held accountable for losing these prisoners. And Paul and Silas said, no, don't hurt yourself. We're all here, every last one of us. Not one of these formerly hardened criminals has left, and the jailer and his household were, while the jailer believed and his household was baptized, they became some of the first church members. And so there were people in the church of Philippi who were able to say, oh, I know exactly what happened to those Praetorian guardsmen. They have been chained to Paul, and now it has become evident to the whole Praetorian Guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And so not only had that become evident to all of them, and some of them at least had been converted, but then in verse 14, and most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, that we would become confident by what God is doing. They would say, isn't it amazing how the Praetorian Guard knows the gospel of Jesus Christ? Paul didn't have, this was the way that God brought Paul here so that he could have this ministry to them that is different than the ministry that he's had in other places. It's advanced the gospel. And they become confident by his chains. And instead of being afraid, here they are in the belly of the beast. Nero is the Caesar. If you're a member of the church in Rome, you are probably very nervous about and worried about what Nero is doing to the Christians and how Nero is opposing Christianity. And then God sends Paul. And how does he send Paul? In chains. And he's under arrest. And then you hear about what God did to those chains and you say, the gospel of Jesus Christ cannot be stopped. I want you to know, he says, the things which have happened to me have actually turned out for the advance of the gospel. And many of those believers in Rome have become confident and are much more bold to speak the word without fear. So there's this new boldness in the church in Rome, and there's this new fearlessness in the church in Rome, and Paul is writing back to the church in Philippi. He's saying, I want you to know that too. I would love for God to reproduce in you the same boldness and the same fearlessness that knows that whatever they do to the people of God, they cannot stop the gospel of God. Whatever they do to the people of Christ, they cannot stop the gospel of Christ. And that's not just a word for Roman Christians, and that's not just a word for Philippian Christians. Isn't that a word for American Christians? That there is nothing that the enemies of Christ and his gospel can do to stop the advance of the gospel of Christ. And therefore, whether it's a pastor that you know and love that ends up in chains, and some of us have known pastors usually from other countries, that have ended up imprisoned. Many of you probably heard about the Baptist fellow this week, this past week in Canada, who was imprisoned and told that the terms of his release was that he stopped gathering his congregation for worship, stopped preaching, stopped pastoring. Well, we have an ARP brother who is not currently locked up, but their church has been fined $100,000 simply for gathering for public worship in violation of all of their COVID stuff. And 2 weeks ago, not this past Lord's Day, but the previous Lord's Day, when we had Dr. Davis with us, there were police who were assigned to come and attend worship with them and then cite him to appear, and he's been charged, and he has a hearing coming up. But God wants us, when we hear of stuff like that, not to hear it with discouragement, not to hear it with depression, but to hear it with the certainty that the gospel is advancing, that the only way that this could happen is if this was how Christ had decided to advance his gospel, and that we would pray for our brothers, that they would be faithful, and that we would be emboldened, and that we would become more bold to speak the word without fear. And if you ask Pastor Richardson, Stephen Richardson's name is, I don't know if I put his name in the prayer list, but it's Faith ARP in Tilsonburg, Ontario. And if you ask him, you know, what to pray for, he says, pray that the churches would be emboldened. Pray that other churches were open. If you ask him, what can you do? What can we do for you? One of the ways he answers that is open your own church. Worship God without fear. Tell the gospel. Don't be afraid to boldly speak the truth that is getting so many people into so much hot water in our culture today. The more the world pushes, you be faithful and push back with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul wants for the Philippians, that they too, and that's what the Holy Spirit wants for us, that we too would know that the things which happened to him actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, that the things which happened to us actually will turn out for the furtherance of the gospel, and that we would be emboldened, that we would speak the word with fresh boldness and fearlessness, because we have this doctrine. We know, we have this theology, theology matters, that says that Christ is winning, the gospel is advancing, and it will win and overcome. Very similar, isn't it, with respect to our evangelism, and with respect to our speaking for Christ, as what we heard even in the Sabbath school lesson this morning about our sanctification. The certainty that our sanctification will be completed gives us this this joy and confidence as we pursue growth in holiness, growth in obedience to the law of God. Well, very similar, the certainty that the advance of the gospel will be completed gives us boldness and fearlessness in speaking the word. So let us pray that we would know what the Lord says here. He wants us to know. Our Father in heaven, we know it in our heads. We agree when we read things like this. It is not particularly new to us. But we are prone to discouragement and anxiety. We are prone to cowardliness and sheepishness when we have opportunity to speak clearly for the truth of Christ and for the gospel of Christ. And so we pray that you would make us not just to know in that intellectual way, but to be gripped with, convinced about, to operate out of the reality of the fact that the gospel of Christ is advancing, and that whenever we go through difficulty, even as Paul was chained, that you are using it to advance the gospel. So help us, Lord, in the duties that you have given us day by day, week by week, and the opportunities that you give us to know that you are advancing the gospel. And then if the time comes, Lord, that we do end up chained even, make us, we pray, to see it as an opportunity to participate in a new way, in a different way, in what you are doing, rather than despairing over the new circumstances in which you have given us to serve you until our time here is done. Grant it, we pray, all in Jesus' name. Amen.